Started. All right, good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources for March 13th. Today we will be hearing Senate Bill 602. Before we get started, I'm just going to remind folks, if you have a cell phone, if you could please make sure it is turned off or on silent. Also, when you do come up to testify, because we have four full sheets of people, we are going to, after the sponsors of the bill introduce the bill, we're going to, we did the math, and we wouldn't have enough time to hear everybody, so we're going to have a timer for 3 minutes, and our trustee committee staff will have signs. So if you're, if it looks like you're running over, we'll have a sign up. And I apologize about doing that, but we want to make sure we get to hear everybody before our committee ends. And also, when you come up to speak at the mics, they're very sensitive. So there's a little sign up there that says, sit a few inches away. Otherwise, we have a hard time hearing you. It sounds a bit muffled. So with that, I will go ahead and open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 602. Beth, our committee staff, will provide an introduction, and then we will call up the bill sponsor, Senator Brzozinski.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 602 prohibits the use of motors on Waldo Lake. It declares an emergency, and the bill becomes effective upon passage. There's been additional written testimony that's on OLIS, and there's also 8 amendments for your consideration, and those are in the back of the room, online on OLIS, and in your packets on the dais.
And for people listening and for new people in the audience, can you just explain quickly what OLIS is?
OLIS is, so if you're listening online, you can go onto the legislature's webpage and click the link for today within our committee meeting, and you can see the electronic version of the amendments that are being discussed.
Okay, great, thank you. With that, Senator Brzozinski, would you like to come up? And I think we have some other, I don't see any other senators or reps in the room yet, but I expect we're expecting a few others as well. Okay, welcome. We missed you in the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. It's, kind of like homecoming, coming back to the committee today, being the first session for me not to be serving on this Committee of Environment and Natural Resources. But as you know, I've been farmed out over to the another committee that I'm working on with Senator Shields, and dealing with general government, small business, and small consumer protection. So thank you very much for allowing me to take a moment to introduce the bill. And what I wanted to do is just start off kind of with first my name, Floyd Brzozinski, State Senator. I represent District 4, which includes parts of Lane and Douglas counties. Waldo Lake, which is the primary focus of Senate Bill 602, is within my Senate district. The purpose of Senate Bill 602 is to affirm the Marine Board's previous decision banning the use of gasoline motors on Waldo Lake. There's a little history here. The Marine Board made a ruling last spring regarding the prohibition of the use of gasoline-powered motors on watercrafts operating on Waldo Lake. The board received a lot of public testimony through public hearings, received data before they made the decision, and then at that point they made a decision basically to ban the use of gasoline motors on the lake. At this point, I think it's important for us to basically see where we're at and why we're where we're at. I do not believe that the legislature this time should, in fact, reopen that decision that has been made by the Marine Board. Once the Marine Board made its decision, I considered the issue to be closed. I will tell you that when the issue was before the Marine Board, I had a number of constituents that were taking different perspectives and aligning different on both sides of the issue that was before the Marine Board at that time. I took a position of not participating in that process, publicly taking a position, instead allowed for the Marine Board to do its work through the agency process and administrative hearing. Once, as I said, that decision was made, I felt that the decision was closed as to what should happen. I will tell you I was extremely surprised to learn that the Aviation Board then made a separate ruling allowing for float planes to continue to use Waldo Lake. Even though I understand that the Aviation Board does have general authority over aircraft, I do not believe it should be able to override the Marine Board's decision to prohibit gasoline-powered motors on Oregon waterways. It is my opinion that when a float plane lands on a state waterway, it becomes a watercraft, and as a watercraft is subject to the rules of the Marine Board. That is why I felt that once the Marine Board made its decision, that it should have been the decision that we should have moved forward as a state. Unfortunately, because we have two state agencies that have contradictory rulings, I believe it was time for the duty, it was the time for the legislature, and it is its duty to resolve that dispute and to clarify the agency's jurisdiction over the waterways of the state. And as I've just mentioned, I do, in fact, believe the Marine Board is the correct agency to have that decisions. Now, what you are going to be asked by a number of individuals today is not to even look at the issue that's before you as to whether or not seaplanes should or should not be able to use this lake, but instead ask you to reopen what the Marine Board's decision was in their process to ask you to override their position and allow for the use of gasoline motors on the lake. I would submit to you that that is the reason why we have administrative hearing processes, why we have agencies to make the decisions, and the only reason that 602 came before you or is before us now is to take care of the issue that's between the two agencies having contradictory rulings. So I would submit to you, first of all, you should not entertain any of the amendments that would basically reopen the discussion, the decision-making process of the Marine Board regarding its decision. Now, there is one amendment that is before you, the Dash 10. The Dash 10 is an amendment that does, in fact, clarify where the bill, when it was written, did not include it. And as soon as we got it back and looked at it, we noted that it did not have that included. And that is basically that operators of watercrafts can, in fact, use electric motors on Waddle Lake as long as they're not exceeding 10 miles per hour. This is already provided for, and when you look at the statutes where the lakes and waterways that are actually prohibited from having motor-propelled watercraft, basically underneath that it does have another section for other waterways that you can, in fact, use different types of water motor that limits the speed up to 10 miles an hour. The one thing I do want to submit to you and ask that you will look at this at some point. I know today is only a public hearing, but there was a letter from the governor January 31st of this year that he addressed to the chair of the State Aviation Board, where he basically went through a process of having the need to have consistent policies within local or state government, and that the agency should, in fact, be in unison, where at this case we are not. And again, that is why you have the bill that's before you. It's not to reopen the decision of the Marine Board, but instead to basically codify the decision that they made.
And Senator, our trustee staff has posted that letter on OLIS.
All right, so let me point out a couple of things here in there. When you look in the third paragraph, it does have a temporary rule that was entered. They looked for responsive how many seaplanes actually used Waddle Lake during the year of 2012. There's only four trips that were documented that occurred. I tell you this because it shows you how infrequent the waterway has been used by seaplanes. And I know from the letter you can look at it and you could take it either of both ways as to what that should be interpreted. But when you go further in the letter, the governor has gone through as to what the establishment of the state scenic waterway is in 1983, noting that Waddle Lake was the only lake that was actually identified in all the water bodies to be protected by that legislation. So it shows the uniqueness for this particular lake. And I would submit to you, based on everything that's before you today, based on the letter of why the governor felt that the Aviation Board should actually not adopt the temporary rule that it put in place and instead be in unison with the Marine Board, that you should, in fact, support Senate Bill 602 with the Dash 10 amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions for the Senator before we let him go back to his other committee hearing? Senator Olson?
Senator Pruszynski is looking at me to... Yes, I do have one. Senator Pruszynski, a simple question. The Oregon Department of Aviation actually deals with the airplanes. Does the Marine Board do any licensing on seaplanes? As such as my boat, I have to have a certificate for my boat. Do they do a certificate for a seaplane?
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, I do not know the answer to that question. As to, if I heard the question, does the Marine Board itself issue some type of permit or certification for seaplanes. Mm-hmm. I do not know that.
Okay.
And Senator, we have the Marine Board signed up, so I will be calling them up next.
Good.
You can answer your question. Okay. Any other questions for the Senator? All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
I'll let you go back to your committee. And with that, we actually will call the Marine, the Director of the Marine Board and Tim Wood, the Director of Parks, I know, signed up. So we'd like to just have them come up, get a few things on the record, and then we're going to jump into the public testimony. As I mentioned, we'll be limiting that to 3 minutes, and we'll ask you gentlemen also to be brief. We want to make sure there's also time for questions. Thank you. And Scott, if you could just make sure and address the question as sometime during your testimony, that would be helpful, that you just heard from Senator Olson.
Okay. Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Bruin, Director of the Oregon State Marine Board. Pleasure to be with you this afternoon. I did provide written testimony, so I won't go through it all. I know you have a lot of people that want to testify, so I'll just cover a few key points. When we reopened the rule, we originally passed the rule back in 2010 as a result of a memorandum of understanding and a public process. We reopened the rule because of a rule challenge where we wanted to deal with some of the procedural issues that were a part of that challenge. So in opening the rule, we needed to work with the Department of Aviation and the Aviation Board. Our statute requires cooperation between the two boards when we establish rules which impact seaplanes. In answer to Senator Olson's questions, we do not provide any type of document or anything on a seaplane. Seaplanes are not registered at all through the Marine Board. Seaplanes are considered in flight while they are landing and while they are taken off. The only time they are a boat is when they are on the water after shutdown from a landing or prior to the process to take off from that water body. So in our rulemaking process, we met with the Aviation Board in April of 2012 to discuss how we could cooperate on Waldo Lake to ensure that what we were doing with boats was consistent with how we were handling seaplanes. Through that discussion, which was a great discussion that we had, we identified that there were areas that we could agree upon. However, if the Marine Board went so far as to ban motors from the lake, the Aviation Board was not willing to cooperate in banning seaplanes as well. So in our hearing in April of 2012, that hearing we had 4,108 written comments. So for an agency of our size, that was a lot of comments. 4,108 were in favor, 306 were in favor of repealing the ban on motorized boats. The board voted at that meeting 3-2 for a motorized ban on boats. However, because we did not have the concurrence of the Aviation Board, what the Marine Board did is they exempted seaplanes from our rule and requested that the Aviation Board take up rulemaking with regard to seaplanes. So that's how we ended up where we ended up. It wasn't that our rules conflict. It was that the Marine Board kept seaplanes out of our rule or exempted them from our rule with the understanding that the Aviation Board would take up rulemaking in that regard, which they did. They had a hearing on January 31st. The Marine Board did testify in support of a ban on seaplanes to mirror the ban on motorized boats. And so it's in keeping with that rulemaking that we are supportive of Senate Bill 602. However, we would like to see an amendment which allows electric motors on the lake, which I believe is the Dash 10 amendment. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before the Parks Director goes, just a clarification. You said in your testimony you talked about the Aviation Board rule hearing in Springfield. Do you want to tell us what happened at that hearing? There was no action?
Chair Dingfelder, it was just a hearing. They were not going to make a ruling as of during that hearing, but we're going to save that for later on, although members of the Aviation Board were there to listen to the testimony.
Okay, so just to clarify, there was no action taken at that?
There's no action taken.
And there has been no action taken since?
No.
Okay. All right, why don't you go ahead, Tim, Mr. Wood, and then we'll take questions for either of the directors.
Senator Dingfelder, members of the committee, I'm Tim Wood, the director of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 602. My department is the state agency that's responsible for administering the Oregon State Scenic Waterway Program. You know, of the 20 water courses that are designated as a state scenic waterway, only one lake has that distinction, and that's Waldo Lake. It's for good reason that the legislature acknowledged the unique values and the qualities of this special place when they took care to ensure that it was included in the state scenic waterway system some time ago. The State Scenic Waterway Act mandated that management of designated water segments be directed to maintain the free-flowing condition and protect and preserve the aesthetic and natural setting of water qualities of the state scenic waters for the benefit of the public. Waldo Lake possesses a natural, pristine condition that's largely unfettered by development and provides an outdoor recreation experience unparalleled on other water bodies of the state. It's for these reasons that Waldo Lake was included in the state system of scenic waterways. The noise and distraction introduced by internal combustion engines infringes upon the quiet, contemplative, natural atmosphere and enjoyment of those seeking peace and solitude that brings a bit of a respite to people's lives. Passage of this bill bolsters the recent action by the Marine Board to prohibit motorized boating on Waldo Lake. Passage further recognizes that there are special places in Oregon that deserve to be managed for the benefit of the public in special ways that preserve their natural and scenic qualities. Passage of this bill is also consistent with the values set forth when Waldo Lake was designated as a state scenic waterway. And for those reasons, I would urge your support of this bill. I have not, however, had an opportunity to review the amendment, so talking specifically to the original bill.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. See if there's any questions for either of the directors. Senator Olson.
Mr. Wood, you say in your statement that the noise and distraction introduced by internal combustion engines infringes upon the quiet, contemplative, natural atmosphere and the enjoyment of those seeking the peace and solitude that brings a respite to people's lives. Is there any other areas in that area that could provide them with that solitude that they seek?
Chair Dinkfelder, Senator Olson, I'm sure there are other locations, on waters of the state that could do that, but I think that was part of what the designation of the state scenic waterway was intended to promote.
Thank you.
I actually have a follow-up question from my vice chair as far as, are there any other areas in this state where seaplanes are cannot land currently?
Chair Dingfelder, where the legislature has established no motors, seaplanes.
But there's no other lakes, correct? Is this
there,
the only lake?
There are some lakes that would fit into that. However, they're not lakes that would generally be considered as good lakes to land on. They're usually small lakes, high elevation lakes. It may be a good question for someone that operates a seaplane, but it has not been an issue to my knowledge of some of the other lakes that are designated as non-motorized.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Bates.
Yeah, thank you. Time for stupid questions, and here they come. So how often do seaplanes land in Waldo Lake? What's the impact on the lake?
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Bates, my understanding last summer, I believe 3 to 5 times, I'm not sure what the exact number was, that they landed on the lake.
And is that kind of the normal thing? You have 3 to 5 flights in the whole summer coming in there?
I don't have the numbers prior to that. I'm not sure that they kept track of it. As part of the establishing the temporary rule, the Aviation Board required that the seaplane pilots report to them the number of times they were landing. That's how they were able to establish a number for the prior summer.
Where else do seaplanes go in the state? That is, I mean, there are not that are there very many seaplanes in the state? I mean, how many are people flying?
I think we have some people signed up. I think we'll hear from them, but if you gentlemen want to.
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Bates, it's not something that I have personal knowledge
of. We actually have the Aviation Board here. We could ask them to come up to answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Senator Olson.
For the Marine Board, are you concerned about invasive species coming in on seaplanes?
Chair Dingfelder, Vice Chair Olson. Because of the unique quality of the water at Waldo Lake, it's not a high risk for invasive species. I'm not an invasive species expert, so I couldn't go through what the issues are as far as the makeup of the water, but we did have a study and did talk to Portland State University who provides that information to us, and because of the type of water, their invasive species would not have a high likelihood of establishing themselves.
Follow-up? Including either zebra mussels or quagga mussels?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Water's too cold.
Okay. Any other questions for these gentlemen? Okay, we will ask the I know we have somebody here from the aviation. Yes, Commissioner, why don't you, if you can come up and answer that question, and then we'll call up Senator Ferrioli. Thank you for your testimony. I thought we'll hear the facts, get the facts out first, and then we'll...
Okay, Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to be here today. Senator Olson, in
answer to... Can you state your name for the record,
please? I'm sorry. Mitch Swecker, Director of the Department of Aviation. Senator Olson, to answer your question, we actually have an administrative rule 738-040-0020 that lists the requirements for landing seaplanes in the state. And there are some that are listed specifically that are included, and it's only where they're excluded by rules such as what's proposed for Waldo Lake. I'll make sure that the members of the committee have a copy of this OAR if you'd like.
And I think there was a question about how many times they land on the lake, and if you're tracking that, if you have records that you could provide us, but if you care to answer.
Chair Dingfelder, during the period of the temp rule, we used it a lot to determine if there was, you know, what's the scope of the issue, what's the number of landings that took place. We had a total of 4 landings during that reporting period, a 6-month reporting period, which is pretty much the aircraft flying season for the lake.
Does that answer your question, Senator?
It does, and I have a follow-up.
Sure.
Would there be any, as I realize there's only 4 flights, would there be any concern for a mishap and a plane actually, and because I understand it's quite windy at times, and there could be a mishap and the plane flipping over and polluting the water?
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson, I could never say that there's not an opportunity for a mishap. That's always a possibility. It's a possibility in everything. There's some level of risk to that. I would say that in Alaska and other remote areas of the country, that seaplanes are one of the primary means of transportation to some fairly pristine areas. Alaska, for example.
Okay. Any other questions? I do have one last. I'm sorry, did you have a question, Senator?
No.
I was just curious about, you said during the temporary rule there were 4 flights. Does that mean that you were only tracking during the temporary rule, so you don't have a history of how many seaplanes have landed in other times?
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, we had not tracked it prior to that. It hadn't been a big issue, and there was a period of time before that where they were banned outright. And so we didn't track it during that time frame. And I've been with the agency for almost 5 years, so we hadn't tracked it during the time frame that I've been there.
Can you just provide a little history on how long it was banned outright and what and when the ban was overturned?
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, I think there was actually around 2009, I would say, and I would be guessing to about the time frame that it was banned. And I would ask if anybody else has that more accurate information to correct me. In 2010, I believe there was a lawsuit to reopen it or to reopen the rulemaking on it with the Marine Board, which they did, and that resulted in the rulemaking that the Marine Board did and the rulemaking that we did. The Marine Board accepted rulemaking for seaplanes, and the Aviation Board agreed to take up the rulemaking for seaplanes.
Okay, so just so we're understanding this right, they were banned for a number of years. My staff will take a look. Then it was the lake was reopened for a very short period during the rulemaking, and there were 4 planes landing, and then we have now where the Marine Board banned motors, and then your board had a hearing, and there was no action.
Chair Dingfelder, that is correct. The Marine Board ruled to ban motors with the exception of seaplanes, with the understanding that the Aviation Board would take up that rulemaking, which they have done. They held a public hearing on January 31st to gather input, had a temporary rule prior to that to limit where they could land and identify the scope by identifying when an aircraft did actually go there and land. And subsequent to January 31st, there is permanent rulemaking that would still need to be done. You have a letter from the board saying that out of deference to the legislative process, that they'll suspend the rulemaking until in deference to the legislature.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Bates.
Yeah. Well, the time that the lake was banned for this, what other options were available in the area for seaplanes? I mean, Odell Lake is right there. And just to answer your question, there is a lake nearby, a very small lake that bans outboards called Gold Lake. And it's jammed all the time for that reason. It is a small lake with 17 campsites, and we have to ask months ahead of time to get in. Usually people go there for peace and quiet, but it's a very small lake, and that makes it more difficult. So what else can they do? Where else can they go? I mean, what's the impact on the people who want to fly seaplanes in there?
Chair Dinkfelder, Senator Bates, they basically are allowed any place that's a navigable waterway under the federal waterways regulations. And I know that there are other opportunities around Oregon. Odell Lake is one that you mentioned. I believe that the Seaplane Pilot Association is going to testify today. I'm not a seaplane pilot, so they might have a little better factual information. We have it in administrative rule, some of the locations where they can land, which I'll provide to you. But they could probably give you a better idea of what the specific places that they frequently go to are.
Okay. Can I ask the question the other way around?
Yeah.
Are there other bodies of water in which they're banned from going into?
I believe that there are, and I'll try to identify those.
Let's let them answer that when they come up then. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Olson.
There's apparently some very nice lakes nearby, Davis Lake, Crane Prairie. Are they allowed to land on those?
Senator Dinkfelder, Senator Olson, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I would have to check on which individual lakes are allowed or not allowed.
Okay. Thank you.
They've all got stones on it just under the surface.
All right. Thank you very much. And appreciate you hanging out in case we have some additional questions, so we may call you back up. Thank you. Senator Ferrioli, thank you for your patience.
Well, that's where I got my book out.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ted Ferrioli. I don't know if my testimony will add any dispository information to help you with your decision-making. I'd just like to point out a couple of features that I hope you'll take into consideration as you deliberate. I first became aware of the Save Waldo Lake effort in the 1970s while I was a student at the University of Oregon. And it's, to my way of thinking, always been couched as a sort of a zero-sum game, that either we preserve and protect Waldo Lake as a wilderness-like experience, or we will lose it. And that's been some 40 years in time. Waldo Lake still represents the pristine recreational opportunity that it did at that point in time, despite the use of two-stroke motors, which are notoriously oily, which we banned, and the use of four-stroke motors on that body of water, which are much cleaner and much more environmentally sensitive than in previous iterations. The problem, I think, with a zero-sum game is somebody loses. Currently, there are recreational opportunities available for folks who go up there who just like to float and paddle. There are occasional users who would take a float plane in. There are some users who are, for whatever reason, perhaps they have a disability, need motorized transport to be able to use and enjoy that lake. As currently framed, the bill would ban all motors with a potential for amendment. Perhaps electric motors would be allowed. But it always seems that what we are offering to do to protect an asset is a subtraction of utility, a subtraction of users, a subtraction of the ability of people to exercise a recreational opportunity that's been available virtually forever, as long as there's been a road punched into that area. And I will point out that perhaps the extension of wilderness-like thinking, where, you know, we're aiming at a pristine preservation, where we're aiming at the limitation on utility, even though we do not have a wilderness designation for this particular lake, that seems to me to be a hybridization. We do have lakes in the wilderness. You can't use wheel traffic to get to them, and you can't use a motor on them. They are specifically to preserve and extend that quietude, that solace, that recreational opportunity that isn't available in places where we have roads, and places where up until very recently folks who are perhaps mobility impaired or the elderly could use the lakes and recreate, fish, take a trip around the lake. Those are the kinds of things that I think are the interests that are at stake here. So what I would urge you to do is to try to balance to the greatest extent possible the interests that are represented by the total recreational population. What may be instructive is the a thoughtful recapping of the inability of the Marine Board and the Aviation Board to get together and conclude and compromise. Basically, I think because they realize that in zero-sum games, somebody loses. I would point out that the Marine Board's motivation in making its recommendations perhaps extended illegally its authority to aviation, and that the Aviation Board, made up of Oregonians good and true who looked at the issue and concluded that further protection for Waldo Lake from aviation was utterly unnecessary. It isn't, as we heard testified, subject to pollution by invasive species. It's a very infrequently used landing site for seaplanes. So I would hope that the committee looks at that as instructive. Perhaps this issue that's before the committee needs more thoughtful review by all of the recreational users. I would suggest a work group. I would suggest more conversation with people to see if there was an opportunity to come to reconciliation. Perhaps a seasonal limitation on the use of recreational motorized craft that fits the summer recreation period, leaving the folks who want their quietude and the experience of Waldo Lake to be more of a wilderness experience, to be sort of in the off season for recreation. I understand you have is it a dash 10 amendment, Madam Chair, that would allow motorized recreation via electric motors?
That's what Senator Personsky said, yeah.
Madam Chair, I would urge that be considered along with other alternatives, including a seasonal opening for motors, a seasonal opening for all kinds of different recreational use, including aviation. So that is my offering, Madam Chair. It's not dispository. It just offers a perspective that perhaps the committee wouldn't hear otherwise. There are several people that have asked me to testify about their use of Waldo Lake, which is dependent on motorized travel. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Senator Farrioli? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you're welcome to join us up at the dais if you would if you have the time.
I appreciate the offer, and Madam Chair, on another day I'll accept it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in today, Senator. We know you're very busy. Okay, we are going to move right along here to start going through the testimony. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call three people up at a time. I'm going to try to alternate between we have folks signed up both for and against, and we're going to try to alternate so we'll make sure and hear a range of views. And we have two people that have come from over 100 miles away, so we would like to hear them first to make sure we get your testimony. Kyla Gadawa Tufte from the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs, and Gary Guterman, if I'm saying that correctly. Okay, and Greg Zurbrug. You can come up. You don't want to testify? Okay. Are you Greg?
Yes.
Okay. And then Kyla, thank you for coming here today. So I'll also ask, why don't I ask Javier? Am I saying that right? Does it say
Sliak?
Javier Sliak? Or maybe Jan? Jan?
No, I didn't intend to testify.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going right through. Okay. How about Colleen? Colley? So this is a sheet where to sign up if you wanted to testify. So if not, let us know. And then, Kyla, do you want to go ahead and get started? And just
sure.
A reminder, please state your name for the record. And if you go over 3 minutes, we'll probably hold up a little sign. So we'll ask you if you have written testimony. Please don't read it, just summarize it, and we just really want to hear what your viewpoints are.
Okay. Madam Chair, if you just wouldn't mind for one moment. So if you do remember signing up on one of these papers and you would like to have your name removed, you can go ahead and let Jennifer know on the side of the room. We can take care of that for you.
And for submission of testimony?
Yes, yeah, Jennifer can take that. You. Thank you. Thanks for traveling so far to be here today.
Thank you very much. My name is Kayla Gadawa Tufti. I'm the great-great-granddaughter of the person who's credited for discovering Waldo Lake, Charlie Tufti, in the 1800s. He was the first person to take pioneer settlers to this area. According to archaeological data, we've been inhabiting this place as our homeland as the Southern Malalish people for at least 8,000 years. This is a very sacred site to our people. We've been marginalized to not have fair access to this body of water. This is actually classified as ultra oligotrophic. It's one of the purest bodies of water left in the world for fresh water. And it is pure enough to be used as drinking water. This is what we used it for previously. And so pollution directly affects our spiritual rights and our historical significance to this area as tribal indigenous people. I learned all this from my grandpa, who's the grandson of Charlie Tufti, and he is 81 years old, currently a Wasco elder at the Warm Springs Indian Reservation. So my concerns with the, because I could only find the summarized, edited version of this bill. So I went over the amendments, and I was just curious about, it says no person other than the Department of State Police and government agencies of the state and federal government having jurisdiction over the following described waters shall use a motor for propelling a boat or for any purpose on the following named waters of this state located in the counties named Lane County, Gold Lake, and then in parentheses, the Waldo Lakes. So, and then later on, the amendment is the speed restrictions. So I'm curious if only government officials and state officers are allowed to use this body of water. Is this amendment being made to regulate their speeding? Because from what we understand, motorboats are outlawed, so why would there be any speed regulations?
So, and just so you know, the amendments are being offered not by this committee.
Okay.
Those are from people outside. And I actually, Senator Przanski talked about the Dash 10, so that was his amendment. And then there are 10 other amendments coming
right.
from other people, but the committee, nobody up here has offered those up, so I can't really speak to those.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
The language was just vague and not very clear to me. So personally, I do support this bill for protection of this pure body of water. But I do ask for clearer language and what exactly this all means and who these rules apply to and risks of pollution being considered, and also that zebra and quagga mussels, being an invasive species, have never been a threat to this pure body of water before. So to have any information to base whether they can establish themselves and survive, that information isn't even available yet. So to say that it isn't a risk, it doesn't make any sense, because there's no basis for that information. So yes, in closing, I would just like to thank our Southern Malalish people, my Tufti family, for protecting this water, because prior to industrialization, we lived in this place for 8,000 years without pollution ever being a problem or invasive species ever being a problem. And not until the last 100 years has pollution ever been an issue.
All right, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Why don't you go ahead? And you'll need a mic. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee. My name is Colleen Colley. I'm from Portland. With family and friends, I've been a visitor to Waldo for over 25 years, and I first became advocate of banning motors back when the Forest Service asked for public comments on their management plan. I also attended meetings of the Marine Board in 2009 and April 2012, submitted written comments to the Aviation Board, most recently in January. What has become clear over this time has been the overwhelming public support for a ban on motors at this lake. It's been also clear, unfortunately, that because of the patchwork of decisions from federal and state bodies and the conflict over their respective jurisdiction, that this ban has unfortunately been they failed to really settle the issue. And for that reason, I fully support passage of Senate Bill 602. Waldo Lake is the only lake that's part of the state scenic waterway system established in 1983. It was not concluded as accident. It's got a unique clarity. Anyone who's been a visitor to this lake really has an unforgettable impression of the clarity of the water and the shoreline. And we're really privileged to have, as Oregonians, an embarrassment of wonderful recreation areas and lakes within a very short drive from Waldo. Many of which are fully open to motorized use of all sort. Waldo is really the only lake of its size and accessibility to the public. I think Senator Bates may have pointed out Gold Lake, but it's very small and not many people can use it. Waldo is really the only one where you could expect to spend a day with that type of quiet. The 2 years since the Marine Board's decision have been very quiet, except for I was treated to one of the four visits of a float plane last summer. The noise was really impossible to ignore. It was probably overall a half hour while the pilots circled, found a place to land, taxied, then spent maybe 15 minutes before taking off again. It made me realize why property values around airports are so much lower. The noise is really, really loud. There really are too few quiet places in the world, and really nothing quite like Waldo, and I urge your support for passage of Senate Bill 602. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. My name is Gary Gatormson. I want to thank all of you for letting me speak. By the way, this is what we're talking about. If you haven't been to Waldo Lake, this is what we're speaking of, your ancestors used. It's an incredible lake. I've been going up there for 42 years. Back in 1999, I was asked to serve for 2 years on the subcommittee for the new management plan for the Waldo Basin. I was one of 16 different recreation user groups and organizations that met monthly for 2 years. During that time, we recommended changing the status of management from a roaded natural to what is now semi-primitive and non-motorized. The caveat was a compromise we made with folks that were infirm possibly, and also sailboaters that needed to be able to move their boats in and out of the moorages to allow electric motors. So that's, I would support, I would urge you to look at that amendment that allows electrics. The gentleman from the State Marine Board is correct that I think that's that would be a good move. We, at the end of that time, we were all excited because of we're talking about a ban not only on gas motors for boats, but we're talking about also a ban on chainsaws and generators outside of the three large established campgrounds. So you can imagine the quiet that is offered up there. And I've also been up there when seaplanes come and go, and it's very loud. Without the motors, it's just so peaceful and quiet. One of the things I do want to point out, I would hope that you get some experts, an expert opinion on invasive species, though. I personally clean my kayak thoroughly before. When I bring it into Waldo Lake and I've been somewhere else, I make sure it's super clean. A number of years ago, they stopped stocking the lake for that very reason. It was introducing in organisms that were not supposed to be there. So I would urge you to take a look. Also, Waldo does offer, imagine Oregon is home to two of the purest large lakes in the world, or Crater Lake and Waldo. And to have a lake that is motor-free is pretty phenomenal. I think the other closest lake is perhaps Yellowstone, and it's only partitioned off. So this is a good opportunity for the state of Oregon, I believe. So anyway, yeah, thank you.
Perfect timing. Didn't have to cut you off. Thank you very much, all of you, for being here. And any questions for any of these witnesses?
Senator Olson? I have one for Ms. Colley. What is, on the end of your testimony, you say SUP. What does that mean?
Oh, stand-up paddle boards. They look like big surfboards that people...
Yeah, seen them. Thank you. Could never figure that one out, though.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We learned a new acronym today, so there we go. Okay. You can teach us old dogs new tricks. Okay, we have Rob Dieterport, if I'm saying that right, Joni Mogstad, and Jim Siegelman, or Siegelman. There's two Jim Siegelman, so am I reading this right?
Yeah, there's two.
Do you want to come up together? We can pull up another chair, actually, so that's fine. Okay. Why don't you get started, and you'll see we have our little 15 minutes sign, so we are going to keep to the 3 minute here.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and get started since pulling over on that one?
Okay. And well, my name is Joni Mogstad.
Great, thank you.
Being the only girl here. And I live in Eugene, Oregon. And I want to first thank you for taking the time to listen to us and our varied opinions. I'm a lifetime Lane County resident, and Waldo Lake is in Lane County, and so you can't live there and not know about it. I've been pretty intimately involved in it over time, little pieces of time. I've been following the issue for a lot of years, the issues around the lake. First started going to the lake with my husband when our children were real small. In the early 70s, before the highway was constructed off of Highway 58, and you had to go around the back way to get in if you were taking a car. I served on the same committee that the previous gentleman referred to. That committee was constituted to work for the Forest Service to help them reach a decision on the management of that basin. We were never able to reach a consensus, because the snowmobilers and the Marine Board couldn't be convinced to go along with some of the extreme recommendations from the environmental community. So we never did reach a consensus in terms of the management of the Waldo Basin. It's what it comes down to. The reason I got involved is that I ride snowmobiles. That's my winter transportation. I rode a snowmobile into Waldo Lake weekend before last, with my son and my grandson and two great-granddaughters, as a matter of fact, and that was the first experience for the great-granddaughters to see the lake. And it's frozen over this year for a change. So it's very different. My big concern is watching the incremental removal of motorized access to places like Waldo Lake, because it has to do with my snowmobiles. I watch little pieces gradually being taken away. And I'm now in my 70s. I don't expect to be able to access some of these areas without my motorized transportation at some point. Motors have been demonized for a long time, and they probably will continue to be. But I would like to see us have an opportunity to take advantage of the improvements in internal combustion engines that have been in part forced by the EPA, in part due to creativity. Does that mean how much I have left? Wow. Okay. Okay. Before that 15 whatever runs out, I want to tell you that I would really encourage a work session where all of us can be considered. And since my time is up, I guess I have to say thank you for listening, and really try to keep that lake open for as many people as possible, like the senator said earlier, Ferrioli. I think his comments made a lot of sense.
Thank you. Whoever wants to go next.
I'll go. Thank you, Madam Chair, Senators. Is this okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we hear
my name is Rob D. Harcourt. I'm the president of the Waldo Lake for Everyone group. I live in West Fur. My drinking water comes from the North Fork of the Willamette River, which originates at Waldo Lake. So if there was actually a risk of pollution, I would be very concerned. I'm also the mayor of the small town of West Fur. The Oregon Senate has a chance to keep Waldo Lake access open for all users. By adopting one or more of the proposed amendments, we can all have a chance to experience the lake with proper and prudent precautions provided by modern four-stroke motors, which are exceptionally clean and quiet and EPA approved. Excuse me. These amendments vary. However, each and every amendment offers a reasonable compromise that will allow everyone reasonable access to enjoy boating on Waldo Lake. You'll hear, we've already heard some testimony. Everybody cherishes this lake, including motor boaters. And often you hear the common reply is, well, you can go to Odell or Crescent. And I do often. But you can't get the peace and quiet that you can at Waldo Lake. There's not just jet skis and water skiers because of the 10-mile-an-hour limit. That's why I enjoy going to Waldo Lake. I have a four-stroke motor that I've used up until the ban, and at times I have to rev the motor up while I'm using the throttle just to hear if it's even running. They're that quiet. Another misperception I believe has been stated, and we can check with Mr. Bruin, electric motors are currently allowed. So, but the issue with electric motors is they're just not adequate to navigate on a large lake like that. Your batteries just won't keep charge. I have an uncle who was wounded in Vietnam, paralyzed. He had a pontoon boat powered by a four-stroke motor. He loved going to Waldo Lake. I have a stepdaughter who was born with Down syndrome. She, too, loved nothing more than cruising the lake. I have an 18-foot boat powered by a four-stroke kicker. We could load two families, eight people in my boat, and putt around the lake and never bother a soul. My good friend Don LaDuke of Oak Ridge actually spent time fishing at Odell Lake in the 1930s as a kid. He's currently 87 years old. He fought for his country. It just sickens him to see the right to peacefully and respectfully use a resource that he loves be taken away from him. So I would urge the Senate to be open to these amendments and form a work group and discuss these reasonable alternatives.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Sir? Welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, my name is Jim Steigelman from Eugene. Thank you for having us and listening and considering.
So you're not the third?
I am the third. My dad is actually junior. In prior meetings, it's been a little difficult to keep us apart unless you put us right side by side.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm here today because something very dear to my father and I has been taken away. Banning four-stroke motors on Waldo Lake has taken away a family tradition that dates back to the 1970s. Waldo has been an incredibly special place to my family, which includes brother-in-laws, son-in-laws, nephews, and childhood friends, and a highlight every year for elk hunting in October. We are drawn there every year not just for the hunt, but for fishing, and for most of all, bonding as a family. In particular, we love the northwest corner. Access to that portion of the lake offers a solitude that is not easily found. And a side note to that, this last time that we went, that solitude has been degraded because Waldo Lake, since the banning of motors, has become this mecca, and I have not seen the number of cyclists on the trail now and the complaints even from hikers who have to jump out of their way because it's being promoted as this motor-free experience. that does have its challenges. It's not just a clear-cut win. We boat our gear across the lake to our favorite camp spot, then hunt and fish from there. It is incredibly disheartening that this beautiful tradition is being taken from us for reasons that seem so selfish. The Oregon State Marine Board had numerous comments, 4,100 compared to a very small number in favor of motors.
Sure.
And they say in their summary section, in point three, in a staff report from the April 10th, Waldo Lake meeting, that the public comment process clearly shows that the issue of motorboat operation on Waldo Lake is driven by subjective expectations of a population of resource users. Subjective reasons. Not reasons that are real, but subjective reasons. There's been 80 years of use of motors on that lake. Guess what they call that lake today? Pristine. They call it pristine. On March 7th of 1997, in the city region of the Register Guard, an article about Waldo Lake appeared. In this was a quote, "It appears that the greatest threat to water quality in Waldo Lake is from the heavy recreational use of the area." And the quote is by the DEQ water quality specialist, Avis Newell. Bottom line, I think that there can be a compromise. I think everybody deserves their spot. We love it. I know that they love it. And I would encourage you to consider an amendment that gives everybody an opportunity. I like amendment number two, Sunday through Thursday access for motorboats. That would give Friday, Saturday for people who don't want to hear or see a motor, and I would appreciate if we could have a work group to further study this. So
thank you very much. See if there's any questions for any of the witnesses. Okay. Thank you very much for coming here today when you'd probably rather be out on the lake on such a gorgeous day like us. Okay, we have Mr. Stiegelman. I'm going to come up, and I'm going to call up a couple other folks just to keep things moving here. We're going to just keep going down this list. Oscar Kimbrosh and Michael Williams. Okay. Thank you for coming here today, Mr. Siegelman. Why don't you go ahead?
Thank you for having me and the rest of us. I've lived in Oregon since retiring from the Air Force in 74. I currently reside in Eugene. I'm 76 years of age and have a 30% VA disability rating. I've enjoyed hunting, fishing, and camping on Waldo Lake since 1978. My son and I have camped near the Northwest Outlet almost every year, where I have easy access to several nearby lakes and enjoy a wilderness hunt. I can no longer pack in a camp 3.5 miles or paddle a canoe that far. And you've got to get that far these days to get away from the hubbub and carrying on over at the campgrounds. If you think you get solitude up there on a weekend, go up sometime and in the summer and see what it's like. It's chaos. Anyway, we go over there where it is quiet, where you do have solitude, where we do get into the wilderness. And anyway, some years ago, we found I could still get there by motorboat, and with enough gear for our annual 10-day outing. I really love the Waldo area, and I wish you would consider allowing boats like mine, equipped with a 4-stroke motor, use of the lake from Labor Day through mid-November to accommodate other people like myself access to the place I've loved and cared for all these years. It takes years to find and learn a new area, and I doubt I'll ever find an equal or more enjoyable spot. Don't take this opportunity away. Thank you.
Welcome. You need a mic, sir. Either one will do.
Didn't realize I didn't have one. Hi, my name is Michael T. Williams from Eugene, Oregon. I landed on this planet in 1944, and I spent a lot of time in the wild. I'm a wilderness traveler, fly fisher, fly fishing guide. And, you know, I hear a lot of debate. By the way, let me say that I really appreciate hearing other people's testimony and insights very much. And I know there's quite a legacy of people visiting this lake, in my memory anyway, and from what I hear. But, you know, in my opinion, I think there is very little said about what's really good for the resource, aside from whatever the users think their position might be. What do we have here? One of the most amazing lakes, not only in the world, North America, the United States, Oregon. And we all know that petroleum and water don't mix. And I understand the fact that motors are improved significantly. And I'm glad of that. I'm not trying to take away anybody's rights to exercise their freedom or their legacy of participation with this lake. But I'll tell you, in my opinion, we call this lake a resource. What is it really? Snow melt, spring seep encased in rock. And in my opinion, it deserves a lot greater respect than opinionated use. And if I were asked my opinion on whether motors ought to be on the lake or not, I would say emphatically no. As a matter of fact, I was upset with the illustrious Mr. Hatfield years ago when he asked Representative Weaver in 1984, what do you want for wilderness designation? Hardesty, 10,000 acres, or the Waldo Wilderness? Well, in my opinion, Mr. Hatfield could have been a little more generous, and we wouldn't even have this talk today because the lake and the trails around it would be designated wilderness. So, you know, I'm not trying to cry hindsight here. But oil and water don't mix. End of story. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. By the way, we do have a letter from I guess Congressman Weaver in our, he wrote us a letter. You mentioned him. He wrote us a letter, and it is on OLIS, so you can see it.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Oscar Kimbrough, and I represent a group of 250 citizens called Save Waldo Lake. We are a grassroots organization that accepts no money. We have no attorneys. We have no dues. We're not backed by any national organizations, nor are we industry supported. You're hearing my voice today, but it's really the wishes and desires of a lot of other people that that the thoughts are, you know, come from that, from those folks. We're a diverse group of citizens from all walks of life. We're comprised of women and men of different age, different ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds. However, we have one thing in common, and that is a desire to see a permanent protection given to Waldo Lake. Every time this issue comes up, we are contacted by additional citizens. Here's just a sample of an email I received yesterday. Dear Save Waldo Lake, I don't know what some people are thinking. Why in the world can't they leave Waldo alone? It is so beautiful. I am a native Oregonian and proud of it. I was born in Oak Ridge in 1926. Are those people true Oregonians or out-of-state transfers who really don't care? I hope our governor and government will stand by the supporters wanting to ban motors of any kind on Waldo Lake. You know, I don't think that there's any question in most people's minds in this room today of what most of the citizens in Eugene want. There's already been testimony offered that the Oregon State Marine Board was contacted by over 4,000 people. And I think that if you ask the general population of Oregon, that those percentages would stay true to those numbers of people that responded to the OSMB at that time. So I just want to ask that you consider closing the inconsistencies of how the lake is managed, make it consistently managed by whomever is supposed to be, close those loopholes, and not allow Waldo Lake to turn into an airport for private planes. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions in the panel? Senator Olson.
Mr. Kimbrough, I can understand and appreciate the beauty of this lake. I've never been there myself, but I'd love to go there and look at it. But how can you preclude those people that perhaps might be handicapped or those people that are seniors that would want to take advantage of our natural resources, which they're totally allowed to do, by limiting their ability to be mobile on the lake?
I don't think if people can drive there, which they can do now, people can get into a boat that has electric motors, I think that they'll have the same opportunities to access it just like everyone else.
Thank you. And just to clarify, I actually have been to the lake, mm-hmm. but for folks who haven't are listening, our campsites are accessible from the car. In other words, you don't have to just boat in to those campsites. Is that correct?
Correct.
What I'm remembering. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your testimony. Thank you for coming here today. We really appreciate you sharing your views. Okay, we will just keep going down the list. We have Chuck Meeker, Aaron Fagry, and Bill Wainwright. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. Whoever wants to go first.
I guess I can. I thank the committee for giving me the opportunity to talk about this issue of Waldo Lake. I own a company
called...
Could
you please state your name for the record?
My name is Chuck Meeker.
Thank you.
I own a company called Clemens Marina, which is established in 1958. It's a retail boat store. We have three locations, two in Portland and one in Eugene. And I am based out of the Eugene store, and I work closely in our service department, and I see a tremendous amount of people in percentage-wise that come in that we write a work order to repair the little outboard motor that fish Waldo Lake. It's not a huge part of our business, but it is a little part of it. When you own a company like we own, if you would think of it like a piece of pie, there's several pieces of that pie that we have to make our company work to keep people employed. We have several boat brands, and for instance, if I was only selling one brand of boat, I wouldn't be here today. So the combination of everything that we offer is why we're still in business. We have been in a recession for about 4 or 5 years now. It's tough to keep your people employed at 40 hours a week. Waldo Lake has been one of the purest lakes in the world. Even back when there was two-cycle motors where you mixed oil and gasoline together, that water has been intensively tested and has not been found to be polluted. So here we are 35, 40 years later. We have four-cycle motors. They're fuel efficient. You don't mix the gas and oil together. They're so quiet that one of my customer complaints is, it says, I went to start my motor and I heard the flywheel engage. I didn't even know it was running. And these people were within 10 feet of their motor in this boat. So to listen to people to say that there is noise pollution from these new four-cycle motors, that's not a fact. That's not true. They're quiet. They're fuel efficient. They're non-polluting. So I would like for you to take in consideration, maybe when you look at this, is there's a speed limit on the lake. Make the people use four-cycle clean-burning motors if they do want to use it. But taking restrictions that take the possibility of people being able to use that lake that are either crippled, war veterans, or for whatever reason that they can't paddle, let those people have the same opportunity that other people that are in good health to go on that lake. I've been there. That lake is pristine, it's beautiful, it's quiet. If you use the right equipment up there, it's not offensive to anyone. So I would just like for you to take those things into consideration. It's a tough, tough thing for us to keep our people working 40 hours a week under this recession as it is. And we don't need just one more little piece of this pie taken away from us. That's all I have comments. Thank you.
And, sir, I just have a quick question because I'm not familiar with seaplanes, because this bill is about seaplanes. You know, you probably know that the motorboats are already banned through the Marine Board rule.
That's
so are
correct.
Seaplanes four cycle? And probably Aaron can answer that.
Most
because I've been hearing a lot about motors. The bill in front of us is about banning seaplane motors, and so I'm a little bit confused. Is it a four cycle motor?
Yes.
So you were talking about, so do you work on seaplane motors
no,
as well?
No, I own a marine retail boat store, and we sell four-cycle outboard motors. So to answer your question about airplanes, most of the airplanes that I know anything about are four-cycle motors, other than you might get into these ultralights, which are two-cycle. Some of those are.
Okay. And one thing I just want to be clear, the bill in front of us, just so you know, is about seaplanes. So we are not... This bill does not reopen the discussion
okay.
about that the Marine Board is already they've already done through rule,
okay.
and the senator that came here said that the intent of the bill was for adding the seaplanes on there. I just want to be clear because I think there's been a little bit of discussion
confusion.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. All right. Thank you. And I know Aaron, you're going to talk about seaplanes.
Yes.
We've had the conversation already. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Appreciate it.
My name is Aaron Fagree, the president of the Columbia Seaplane Pilots Association. We have approximately 300 members. I'm going to make a guess that there's something like 20 seaplanes regularly. Maybe there's 20 to 40 in Oregon. Often the floats come off in the winter and the wheels go on, so they're somewhat flexible that way. Seaplanes have been using Waldo for 50 years, so it's not a new thing, and there's never yet been a reported problem that's kind of real. Paddlers currently have, by my count, 85 Oregon lakes that are only for their use. So we are basically a very minority user. I think we think there's something like 5 to 20 landings per year there. Some of them are for just transiting, and I've dropped off a more detailed description. It's going to be very hard to give you much information in 3 minutes, but in there is a picture of a flight I did with my daughter, who's a biologist, and we don't know which lake we can always land in when we're traveling cross-country. There's obviously clouds covering things, and that was a particular trip where right up at the summit, it was very hard to get back down into the Willamette Valley, and while the lake was there and available, and it made the trip safe, is what it did. We also have members who do fly there, just like a car drives there, and my first degree is in physics from Reed College, and I did a carbon analysis. I would contend that from Portland, Oregon, it's actually a lower carbon footprint to fly a seaplane direct and land in the lake than it is to use all the infrastructure of the car. We get demonized, and it's kind of upsetting, actually, that I don't know why our culture we have to have winners and losers to the extreme we do. And I would just point out that all the paddlers who go there drive their cars there. And we all know that watershed, what goes into the watershed goes into the lake. And again, I did a quick calculation that for those roads to be there and the parking lots and everything, 100 acres of forest had to be removed. And approximately 160 million pounds of asphalt had to be brought in. And so I find it a little disingenuous that when we're landing 5 to 20 times a year with small amounts of fuel, and there nothing is, it's not like an outboard that requires the water for cooling or anything. All of the engine is above ground, just like a car, that somehow we're a great polluter when their own cars, if one did a strict analysis, I think it would be quite embarrassing. And I'm sure in general they would oppose cars in wilderness areas as well for that reason. Seaplanes, we like to say, leave no trace, which is a phrase from the paddling community, that we can land and take off without leaving anything behind. We've tried for middle ground. We've offered up, for example, just using the side of the lake that already is developed. And we would request, and we've submitted several amendments offering up ways of joint use, and we also would ask you to have a work group to try to find middle ground rather than just have winners and losers. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. And thank you for your testimony.
Senator Dingfelder and distinguished committee, thank you. My name is Bill Wainwright. I'm the Seaplane Pilots Association Field Director for Oregon and the Vice President of the local Columbia Seaplane Pilots Association. I've been a seaplane pilot for some 40 years, got about 1,900 hours of seaplane time in Oregon and Alaska, so I've seen quite a bit of that activity. I've been involved in the Waldo Lake discussion since the Forest Service, as has Aaron, since the Forest Service acted to close it. And so if there's some questions after this, myself and Aaron would be very happy to answer them with regard to the procedures and things that happened in the past. I've been to Waldo Lake and share some of the same concerns as those who have closed seaplanes on the subject of invasive species and pollution. The Seaplane Pilots Association was instrumental in working with the 100th Meridian Initiative to create a 15-minute training video on prevention of transporting invasive species on floatplanes. This video has probably been seen by every active seaplane pilot in the United States. When crafting the program for preventing the spread of invasive species by watercraft, the Oregon State Marine Board exempted seaplanes in recognition of the effectiveness of our training and educational efforts. Waldo Lake has been mentioned as ultra oligotrophic, I think is how you say it, which is the reason the waters are so clear. What this means in broader terms is that it is clear because it does not support life in anything except the most basic microscopic forms. And I would point out that there are studies on this by Portland State Center for Lakes and Reservoirs. It's an extensive study by a PhD, and it is available online. On pollution, I imagine that you've possibly seen the video that was circulated and referred to earlier about an encounter between a float plane and a group of hikers last summer. It was not smoke behind the plane in the video, simply mist from his propeller. His actions were totally inconsistent with common practices and the relationship that we have been trying to build with the rest of the user community. He has been chastised by his peers. This legislation, with some of the proposed amendments, would serve to mitigate the possibility of this happening again in the future. I would like to leave you with one final thought. Only canoes and seaplanes can visit the wilderness and leave no trace. Thank you for your efforts to work to preserve fair and equal access to this wonderful resource called Waldo Lake.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for any of these witnesses?
I have some.
Senator?
I apologize if I pronounce your name wrong. Is it Mr. Fagree?
Correct, yes, thank you.
Are there any lakes in the vicinity that you can land planes on safely?
Yes, I believe Odell and Crescent would be up just over the ridge. My point in the testimony is, for those who are not pilots, and if all you have underneath you is the floats, every one of them is important because you can't guarantee you can land at any one of them given cloud conditions.
So if it was a pristine day like it is now and the air was clear and everything, you could land on any one of those lakes?
Yes, I believe so.
And, you know, I believe this bill precludes the fact if there's an emergency, you could land there.
It does. If you read my written testimony, the kind of problem that comes up regularly with us, because this is a flyway, and I show a route that is flown really from California to British Columbia. It's a common flight path. Just last week, a plane came through from California that I helped fuel up just to help get him up to Canada. I lost track of your question. I apologize. What was your question?
Whether you could land there.
During an emergency.
During emergency.
The bill allows landing during emergency.
Is a pilot lands and a Marine sheriff doesn't really understand aviation. It's this issue like between the Marine Board and the Aviation Board. Aviation is quite different from everything. They give the pilot a ticket, and then we have to come back to that lake, and then we're exonerated in court, but in the meantime, it's made the trip almost impossible. So we have not just emergency landings. I've tried to put into the bill, it never seems to make it in. We call them precautionary landings as well, that if I'm up flying and I've an emergency in FAA terms is very specific. You declare an emergency and there's certain reporting requirements. And we try to encourage our pilots to land before it's a true emergency. So my own preference would be that it said that emergency and precautionary landing, or it said emergency landing at the pilot in command's discretion or something. Because we run into this problem where a Marine sheriff, he says, I don't think you had an emergency, you know, then you get a ticket anyway.
One follow-up, please. For any of the panel, and sir, thank you for being a Marina. I own a boat and I like you guys. The question being is, are we really discussing oil or oil pollution with water, or are we really discussing noise pollution?
Well, I think in the beginning there was some concerns that I had, because I've been in the business for 35 years, and anytime you mix oil with gasoline and you have a water-cooled engine, that goes back out into the water and on the surface. Even back in those days when they were testing Waldo Lake for the purity, there was found to be no pollution at that time. And so as things go on everybody wants to close this thing down, just canoers and paddlers, the thing is that the new motors are quiet, so we don't have an issue with noise pollution. If you're 10 or 12 feet away from one of these new motors, you cannot hear it running. And so that's...
And I just want to be clear, he's not talking about seaplanes. I think he's talking about motorboats.
Right.
Yeah. And again, we're talking about seaplanes,
right,
for this
but
bill.
The question I asked was, are we discussing the fact that seaplanes land and they would pollute the water, or are we just discussing the noise pollution that the seaplanes bring in?
I would say that the seaplane would be a noise pollution. You get a lot of noise from the prop, you know, chopping through the air. Especially on takeoff, you know, more so than any other time.
Could the pilots answer that, please?
Yeah, I would love to discuss it at length, but
unfortunately,
in short,
we don't have time at length, so it's going to have to be short.
No. As far as oil pollution, you know, seaplanes are like any other airplane. They're inspected annually. A pilot would probably not take to the air if he saw that his airplane was dripping oil or fuel. I just can't imagine that this would happen in any reasonable sense. And so, you know, they spend maybe thousands of dollars a year, annually inspected and pre-flight inspections to preclude anything of a fuel or oil coming from the plane. So this is very unlikely. As far as the noise, yes, we know that, you know, but it's here in a valley that has a railroad not far away and a campground and all the noise that's been discussed by other people and is legitimate. A seaplane takeoff is very brief, and you know, we're trying to work with the seaplane community and have been for years in the issue of Waldo Lake to be good neighbors, to you know, use noise abatement procedures, which are very much on the forefront of both wheel planes and float planes. So you know, there's every issue, every effort being made to be good neighbor in the aspect of noise pollution.
Okay, thank you. Senator Bates?
I just want to get kind of a sense of this thing. I happen to like seaplanes and been in them a lot up in Alaska and not down here, up in B.C. Where do you guys fly to mostly in the state? I mean, what's if you only have 3 to 5 landings in the summer up there at Walnut Lake, where do you take your seaplanes the rest of the time? Do you fly them up to B.C. into the lakes up there? Do you go over to Idaho?
We fly all over the lake, I mean, all over the state. The picture that I put in there, my daughter was working at the Klamath Bird Observatory, so we fly down to Klamath Lake, come back, fly the Willamette River. I'm based on the Willamette River. We fly up into lakes in Washington. A very interesting lake is Vancouver Lake, which is just, you know, just across the Columbia. Yeah. No motors are allowed in there because of the fear of stirring up the mud, but seaplanes are allowed. So it's, in fact, there's a case where paddlers and seaplanes are very commonly together.
Yes.
But we do fly. I've been up to the Arctic Ocean, so we fly through British Columbia very commonly. Bill flies in Alaska a lot. I've been up to Nunavut, and so we're very familiar with remote, pristine lakes, where that really the seaplane is the prime way to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Senator Hess.
You mentioned, thank you, the Willamette, where I've seen the seaplanes, and I'm just curious what regulations, briefly, that you're subject to, because I know there's all those bridges there, and I often wonder what regulations you're subjected to, because I see those seaplanes in between those bridges sometimes, and I think somebody, there's a news story not long, a couple years ago, where somebody famously went under one, and so I was just wondering how that works.
Well, and I'm going to ask you to be brief because we have 15 people still to testify, and I have a feeling my committee members don't want to stay till way over. So maybe you can be brief follow up with Senator Hess afterwards.
Yes, the we're not allowed to fly under a bridge and not land. Sometimes when bridges are close together, we are allowed to fly under a bridge to land, but if we don't touch the water, then we would have been in violation.
And I know you'll follow up with Senator Hess afterwards, right, Aaron?
Sure.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We appreciate you coming here and sharing your testimony. And we have all the written testimony, and we will read through that as well. So we're going to keep going down the list. Tracy Miller, Donna Riddle, and Tim Kiley, I think it is. And I'm going to hand this off to my vice chair, and I'll be right back.
That to me. I got to do that, too.
Too much water. We need a recess, babe. Who'd ever like to go first, please?
I guess I will. I'm Tim Kiley. I live in Eugene, Oregon, and I am a frequent visitor as often as I can to Waldo Lake. I paddle a kayak. I camp on the north side of the lake, as has been referenced previously. It's a very special place, and I just want to add my voice to the others that are in favor of Senate Bill 602 to keep seaplanes from landing on Waldo Lake. It just, to me, does not seem to make any sense at all. I don't think there's any question about the noise pollution. The 10-mile-an-hour speed limit hasn't been mentioned in regards to landings and takings off. I'm in favor of Senate Bill 602. Would not like to see seaplanes land on Waldo Lake. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony and your brevity. Ma'am.
My name is Donna Riddle. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. I'm 70 years old. I've been going to Waldo Lake for 45 years. I am in favor of this bill with the amendment by Floyd Przanski, the TIN that allows for electric motors and emergency use. I read not too long ago about an incident on the Willamette River with a seaplane where the seaplane did not see a canoeist, and the family, there were both the man and the wife were killed, decapitated in the presence of their child. I have a small gray kayak. And I'm not interested in losing my head for a seaplane not seeing me, as rare as that occasion might be. I don't want to take that chance. And I also want to say that it would only take one accident of a seaplane spilling aviation fuel to destroy the water quality of that lake, which is drinking water not only for Oak Ridge, but for Springfield, Oregon. And I think that we need to do everything in our power to protect clean water wherever it exists. While the lake is surrounded by wilderness, it should remain a pristine lake. Thank you.
That's me.
Oh, you now the chairperson. Nice, you changed genders. Very quickly.
You're using up your 3 minutes.
I'm sorry. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna
I'm going to go on the guidelines that we've been before. Anyway, hi, thanks for listening to us today. My name is Tracy Miller. I'm coming from Bend, Oregon, which is where I live. Some things that I've been taking some notes. Apparently, some things are common. Everybody loves Waldo, and the reasons that have been given by everyone, to my understanding, who says they want to use the lake is because it's beautiful, it's unique, and it's quiet. I've listened to a boater who talked about four-stroke motors being, you know, very clean, EPA-approved. I'm not sure EPA-approved for what. The EPA does approvals for a great deal of many things. I'm not exactly sure what the approval is, but and there are different levels of approval from the EPA. But they talked about they wanted to come here because of the peace and quiet, and a couple of things they mentioned were, you know, that their motor is so quiet that nobody can hear it. Last fall when I was on Waldo Lake paddling in a kayak, my boyfriend was probably 20 yards away, and we were talking about some interesting things, and I realized we probably should watch our voice because we could hear people that were in kayaks probably 200 yards away as if they were right next to us. Sound travels on water very differently than it does through air. You can hear somebody, literally, you could hear somebody probably a half a mile away if they were talking just in a normal tone. And I'm talking about talking. So the idea that the vibration from a motor is going to be silent is, I think it's just really, I think it's factually inaccurate.
Ma'am, once again, we're talking about airplanes.
No, that's, and so, okay, so that was the person, the situation with the boat. You're right. Let me say specifically then to airplanes. Okay, so for an airplane, that sound is hugely magnified, and you're going to hear that all over the lake, even if they would restrict to where they land. They're on the south end, they're on the north end, wherever. You're still going to hear it coming in around the entire body of the lake. When you're looking at, when they're talking about, like, a plane being the same way of getting to Waldo, that their access to it is restricted because, you know, going to Waldo by plane is the same as going by car, by truck, motorcycle, whatever. It's the exact same thing. First of all, you can be camping on three-quarters of the size of the sides of Waldo, and there could be an armada of cars that could come into the campground, and you are not going to know it. One plane comes in, and you're going to hear it. Also, show of hands, how many people in here own a car or a motorcycle or a truck? Show of hands, please, everyone. Who owns a? Everyone. I'm assuming everyone does. All right. How many people in here own a plane?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, so when you're talking about numbers of users, you're also looking at wanting to change. Wanting to change a condition that will change the environment for everyone for the benefit of a few. People who have a plane, you can still go to Waldo. You can still drive there.
We're going to have to ask you to wrap up.
Okay. I'll just quickly. I guess the last concern would be when they talked about, like, just use. There may only have been four landings this year, but there's no limit to how many seaplanes can land. And what happens when you start having someone realize, oh my God, I can charge somebody $600 to fly them from Portland with camping gear. I can fly them to Waldo, land them on there, and they can have this wilderness experience.
Thank you very much. Sorry I had to step out for a minute, but appreciate you coming here to share your testimony.
Oh, you know what? I know other people went past their time. But one other thing I really do need to point out is the factual, and we talked about this.
You can actually follow up, and we'll make sure that the rest of the committee.
I'm just saying, saying that an ultra oligotrophic lake will not support an invasive species, actually factually scientific, is not true. So I think it needs to be noted for the record that's
and
not
we're going to contact the Invasive Species Council and check with them.
That is a fact.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming here today. Bruce Johnson, David Stowe, and Chuck Taylor.
Senator Dingfelder and committee members, I'd like to thank you for
allowing us to give testimony today. My name is Chuck Tucker. I reside in Bend, Oregon, and I'm here representing the paddling community of Central Oregon and maybe the state of Oregon. Who knows? I would like to specifically state that we strongly support a motorized ban for Waldo Lake. I'm not an anti-aviation. I spent 22 years as an Air Force civil engineer. I constructed, operated, and maintained airfields all over the world. I say this only to highlight the fact that I think Waldo is a special place and a motorized ban is necessary. As you've heard, Waldo is one of the three clearest lakes in the world. It's arguably the best paddling lake in Oregon and maybe in the northwest of the United States. It's really, if you haven't been there, you can't understand paddling out on water that is a dark cobalt blue, looking down and being able to see the bottom 100 feet below you. Experts tell us you can see 150 feet in the water in perfect conditions. It's almost like flying or floating. It's not an experience that you're going to get probably more than three or four places in the world. It's a very special lake. I won't touch on some of the other issues that have been covered in excess, I believe. I'll hand in my written documentation. But as a paddler, there are many lakes and rivers in Oregon that I avoid in the summer because of ski boats, ski-dos, and wakeboarders. These set up pretty dangerous conditions for paddlers simply because you can't be seen, even if you are skilled enough to stay upright. So there are a lot of places that we avoid. I don't think it's beyond the purview of Oregon to do everything possible to preserve Waldo in its pristine and wilderness state for future generations. In preserving a lake of Waldo's quality, one thing that we have to be conscious of is invasive species. And all boat owners in Oregon, whether they're motor or paddle, are required to have an invasive species permit. This is a very beginning and a very laudatory effort to franchise the cleaning of boats, the inspection of boats as they come over state lines, and getting us to the place that we need to be to protect the pristine waters of Oregon. And I'm not just talking about Waldo. At present, there is absolutely no restrictions, and I want to recognize the Columbia Seaplane Organization because they're doing everything an organization can to get the word out there about invasive species. But there is nothing legally in effect to keep seaplanes with invasive species out of our waterways, specifically Waldo. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for coming here today.
Chair Diegenfelder and members of the committee, my name is Bruce Johnson. I'm a fifth-generation Oregonian living in Bend, a retired member of the Oregon State Police, and the great-grandson of John Breckinridge Waldo, after whom Waldo Lake was named. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you in support of Senate Bill 602-10, banning the use of internal combustion motors on Waldo Lake. I base my support for the bill both on the historic efforts and current needs to preserve wild areas for those who wish to enjoy them, as my great-grandfather was able to more than 100 years ago. John Waldo was not merely a man after whom a lake was named. He was an Oregon state legislator, Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court, and visionary who championed the preservation of Oregon's Cascades. From the 1870s to until his death in 1907, Waldo would spend his summers camping, exploring, hunting, and fishing in the Oregon Cascades. He developed a profound reverence for the unspoiled wilderness where, in his words, in communion with untrammeled nature and free air, the narrowing tendencies of an artificial and petty existence may be perceived and corrected, and the spirit enlarged and strengthened. His efforts to preserve this experience for future generations led to the creation of the Cascade Forest Reserve, which later became the National Forest and Wilderness Areas of the Oregon Cascades. What was true then is even more true now. Today's easy access for motorized recreation has brought the distractions, bustle, and stress of city life to all but the most remote wilderness areas of the Cascades.
Motorboats dominate nearly all the large lakes, making it difficult to experience the peaceful, reflective escape that my great-grandfather so cherished. Fortunately, one lake, Waldo Lake, remains relatively unchanged. Because of the remarkable purity of the water, fish populations have not thrived there, which in turn has made the lake less desirable for motorboaters. Those same qualities, combined with thoughtful management of the forests around the lake, have made Waldo Lake a haven for canoeists, kayakers, sailboat operators, hikers, and mountain bikers who seek non-motorized recreation in relative solitude. In 2007, the U.S. Forest Service, in an effort to provide a diversity of recreational opportunities on public lands, found that the best use of Waldo Lake was to exclude seaplanes and boats with internal combustion motors from the lake. The Oregon State Marine Board, Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation, two Oregon governors, two U.S. representatives, the editorial staffs of the Oregonian, the Register Guard, and the Bend Bulletin all agreed, keep Waldo wild. Although my family and I enjoy spending summer days relaxing on our power boat, we have plenty of places to go, including lakes already mentioned, in close proximity to Waldo. But Waldo Lake is the only large mountain lake in the entire Pacific Northwest where I can drift quietly across the surface of the incredibly clear blue water in my kayak and experience exactly the same spiritually refreshing sense of connection to nature that my great-grandfather did. I urge you to help preserve that same opportunity for my great-grandchildren. Please keep Waldo Lake as a peaceful and pure sanctuary for those who appreciate its value, and pass Senate Bill 602. Chair Dingfelder, if I may, I have additional information to provide to the committee. I've been in correspondence with a man named John Salinas, who has studied the water quality of Waldo Lake for the last 27 years. He has been the primary source of information on water quality. He's taken samples throughout the summer for 27 years in a row. And I asked him, I just contacted him a couple of days ago, and I asked him to send me information. Unfortunately, he sent that to me in the form of a letter addressed to me, but it's instructive in terms of the water quality of the lake. I'd like to introduce that into the records as well. I'll include it with my testimony.
Great.
Copy of my testimony.
Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Sir?
Hi, my name is David Stowe. I'm from Bend. I've been going to Waldo Lake since I was a small child. The first trip I can remember there was 1959. My family's been going there for many generations. I'll echo what everyone said. Waldo is a special place. It's a different kind of place. It's the only large lake with a motor ban in the West. I think the Boundary Waters Canoe Area and some areas of Yellowstone Lake are the only others that I'm aware of. And it has traditionally been managed by the Forest Service as a primitive place. It's surrounded by wilderness. People say three sides. It's really four sides. The fourth side, the west side, is inventoried roadless area with a ban on motorized access. So, people are talking about their right to access and use the lake. Last summer, I paddled around a really good friend of mine who has multiple sclerosis, who has been going to Waldo Lake for about as long as I have and can barely walk. And we paddled him around the lake in the canoe. So it's not a barrier to access. And I would submit that there's something that's more important than people's individual convenience, and that's the integrity of the place. We protect places for a reason, because they have a special quality that we recognize that is more important than riding your motorcycle or your ATV or your boat. I mean, my first trip was with my grandpa on a outboard powered boat with a Scott Atwater outboard. People have to be as old as me or older to know what that means. It's something that hasn't been around for a long time. I sailed my sailboat, which had an auxiliary gas motor to get in and out of the docks for many, many years. I gladly give these things up to protect the lake. And it is a place where you can have an experience of solitude and that quote-unquote wilderness experience with access. You can drive up with your car. I would also say there's another thing that we haven't really been talking about. By the way, I've also been a pilot for many years. I love to fly, so I really respect people's passion for that. I share it. But I think this is more important than that. And the other thing is, having been there for so long and having a family that's gone there for so many generations, I have a time perspective on this lake, and I think we need to look forward as to what this is going to look like 50 years in the future. I think that's critical. And we're at a moment in time right now where we have a chance to act and do something decisive to protect this lake. 50 years from now, it's going to have a lot more pressure, a lot more people demanding access, a lot more things we don't even know what they are now. The more we do now to protect and put something in place that's more permanent, it really ensures the integrity of the place for generations to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming here today to see if there's any questions for any of the gentlemen. All right. Thank you for sharing your views. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. Okay, we have a few more folks signed up. Christine Thompson and Mark Thompson here. And actually, I'll have Tom Wolf come up.
Tom had to leave.
Okay, Peggy, you want to come up? Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm Christine Thompson, Lane County resident, and I am in full support of the bill. I will be brief. A lot has been already stated, and I completely agree with, especially the comments that were just made with the prior testimony. I will add one item, and I'll just say that in order to facilitate the public process, I ask you to also consider the large amount of public input that's been submitted in past years, which demonstrates strong support for a ban of gas motor vehicles on the water surface. This will quickly point out that the current question, in quotes, about whether to allow motorized planes to land on Waldo Lake has already been answered. The answer is no. Thank you.
Did you want to add anything? You're there for moral support.
My name's Mark Thompson. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. I'm in support of Senate Bill 602. I'm a transfer from Minnesota. I have some experience with the beautiful lakes there. Waldo is a really, really special lake. And I think the conservative thing to do when there's a resource that's that unique and valuable is to protect it. I think the reckless thing to do is to expose it to risk. More use is more risk, and it corrupts many of the values that are there. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for coming here today. Peggy, you look like you're
I'm ready to go paddling. Peggy Lynch, native Oregonian. I hope that the pictures of Waldo have gone around, because you need to see what Waldo really is like. Lying high on the western slopes of the Oregon Cascades, Waldo Lake is one of the largest natural lakes in Oregon, 8.9 square miles with a maximum depth of 427 feet. That's really important, because the seaplane issue, what happens if we do have a seaplane accident? Trying to retrieve a plane from a 427-foot depth is probably going to be very difficult, if not almost impossible. You've heard the other reasons. Waldo is one of the purest lakes in the world. It has no permanent inlet to bring nutrients into the lake for plant growth. The lack of plant life contributes to its purity, and you can see the depths of 120 feet on a calm day. It is the second largest natural non-alkali lake in Oregon. My husband is a graduate of Oak Ridge High School, growing up with memories of visiting Waldo Lake long before the paved road went in. I can trace my family back to the first wagon train in 1842. Didn't go to Waldo then, though. We have memories of fishing, and now we understand that stocking the lake is not a good idea. Gentlemen talked about a 1997 article from Eugene Register Guard. The article was about how it was time to stop stocking Waldo because we realized that it was actually damaging the purity of the lake as the fish died from lack of food. And motoring across the lake. Again, now we understand that gasoline engines have the potential of destroying the pristine water. We camped on Rhododendron Island, which is one of the little islands down there, and understand that even using proper disposal techniques, we contributed to the lake's pollution. So we live and we learn. We continue to visit Waldo, and that's why you see the picture of my grandchildren that I sent along and with a Waldo picture. Camping, canoeing, hiking, and biking, we find it important to get our Waldo fix annually in order to sustain us in our daily lives. We have learned to adjust our enjoyment of this special place so it will be the same incredible experience for generations to come. We support 602 with the dash 10s. I want to make a couple of other comments. As far as I know, snowmobiles are still allowed. It's a snowy, windy road up to Waldo in the wintertime. The season issue, the seasons in Waldo are maybe, if you're lucky, July 4th through October because of the snow. We are talking about the High Cascades. And although the pictures you have show a lake that's not used, in the summertime it is well used. You heard the paddle boats. You heard the other new things that are going on in Waldo. It's packed. And I just want to make sure that not everybody needs to go to Waldo in July. You wear this hat. Sorry. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much for your testimony. We have two more people that would like to testify, Steve Paulson and Jill Paulson. And is there anybody else that would like to testify that did not sign up? Why don't you come up with them to the dais or to the stand, please? There's three chairs up there. Thank you. And whoever wants to go first, you can state your name for the record.
I guess that would be me since I was here first. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee, for your commitment to the citizens of Oregon. Much appreciated. My name is Jill Paulson. I live in Lowell, Oregon, on the road to Waldo Lake in Lane County. I did a little bit of internet sleuthing before the Aviation Board meeting. I'm not an attorney. However, Oregon does provide for the Oregon revised statutes to be accessed by its citizens. Looking at the Department of Aviation Laws 2011 edition, Oregon revised statutes, Chapter 837, Aircraft Operation. I find that there is a bit of contradiction between what is in the statute and what is allowed so far on Waldo Lake. 837.090, landings on public highways and grounds prohibited, except in an emergency. No person shall land aircraft on highways or public parks or other public grounds without permission from the authorities in charge thereof. And that was formerly 493.180. The surface of Waldo Lake is managed by the state of Oregon, making them the authorities in charge thereof. The Oregon State Marine Board, the board charged with overseeing the use of Oregon waterways, has banned the use of internal combustion motors while on the surface of Waldo Lake. Seaplanes are powered by internal combustion motors. The Oregon Department of Aviation and its board are required to follow aviation law. Senate Bill 602 should be passed and seaplanes included in the ban on the use of internal combustion motors while on the surface of Waldo Lake. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Chair Dingfelder and committee members, my name is Steve Paulson. I live in Lowell, Oregon. I was born and raised in Salem, Oregon. I am here in support of Senate Bill 602 and specifically prohibiting seaplanes on Waldo Lake. I testified at the Aviation Board's January hearing in opposition to their woefully inadequate rules and will not repeat that testimony here unless requested. I do not necessarily oppose allowing electric motors on the lake. I thank Chair Dingfelder for reminding us that this bill addresses seaplanes and does not reopen the Marine Board's rules on motorized use. I was getting quite confused earlier as to what hearing I was in. Waldo Lake and the surrounding natural areas are my primary destinations for summer recreation, not only because of the amazing natural beauty of the area, but also because the quietness allows me and others to experience one of our many beautiful mountain lakes in something akin to a natural state. Such is not the case down the road, for instance, at Odell Lake, where, well, chaos reigns. We tend to go to Waldo during the week. The weekends are a little more hectic than we generally like. So with respect, the folks who are saying, you know, open the weekdays up, no. Seaplanes should not land on the lake on weekdays or on weekends. I do not look forward to the possibility of having my enjoyment or sense of safety destroyed by unnecessary seaplane operations. They have plenty of other lake destinations. There has been some suggestion that seaplanes would use the east side of the lake. Well, if you're at all familiar with Waldo Lake, where the permanent campgrounds are and where most of the users congregate, it's the east side of the lake. The seaplanes would be most disruptive to the enjoyment and use of the lake in that landing area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome, and if you can state your name for the record, please.
My name is Janine Wade, and I'm a resident of Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for hearing me. I felt compelled to come up here today because when I first met my husband, the first place that we had a date was Waldo Lake, and then subsequently in 1993 we were married on Waldo Lake, and my wedding ring is fashioned to show a meteor that we watched go across the sky at Waldo Lake. It's a very special place for me. But more than anything, I support the ban for seaplanes because I feel like this is such a treasure, and it's something that we need to preserve for our children and for our grandchildren and for generations beyond in its purity. And I feel like that is the most important thing. Not our day-to-day enjoyment of the lake, per se, but this is just a treasure that needs to be preserved. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. Any questions for any of these panelists? Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that would like to testify? Why don't you come on up? And we are holding to the 3-minute rule because I'll probably start losing my folks at 5.
Okay. Yes, my name is, thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Brian Johnson. I'm a great-grandson of Judge John B. Waldo, along with my brother. Five generations of my family have been going to Waldo Lake. It's a very important place to us. My children have been there every summer during their growing up years. I'd like to keep my comments specifically to float planes, though. I'm not anti-float plane. I love float planes. My father was a float plane pilot. I worked for 5 years in Alaska as a biologist, and I couldn't have done my work without float planes. It was absolutely essential. So my stance in support of Senate Bill 602 is not an anti-float plane. It's a pro-peace and quiet at Waldo Lake. This is a special place. And although the purity of the lake makes it unlikely that invasive species would take hold, it's not impossible. Float plane pilots, as a general rule, are very conscientious, safety-minded, good citizens, but that still does not rule out the possibility of an accident. For example, when I lived in Alaska and was working in remote areas, one of our float plane pilots crashed and was killed in his plane, and we had another plane that was crashed. Fortunately, the pilot survived, but accidents do happen, and I would like to see Waldo Lake preserved as much as possible from noise pollution and from the chance of these accidents. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Okay. Well, before I close the public hearing, I just want to thank everybody from both sides for the passionate and heartfelt testimony that we heard. Really is great for us to get a better sense of this issue, and I appreciate the folks who came from far away. I know many of you had to take time out of your jobs and from your busy lives, so we appreciate that and appreciate the attention of my colleagues for the past 2 hours. And we will be following up with some of the questions that we had about invasive species and a few other questions, but I just wanted to thank everybody for being here today. We certainly appreciate hearing from you.
Ma'am, sure.
And do you want to make a few other comments before I close the public hearing?
Yeah, one quick question. I wonder which one of the great-grandsons looks most like his great-grandfather.
I think we knew the answer to that one before, right?
Until I grew my beard. Yeah, right.
Senator Bates?
This is a quick question that just kind of occurred to me. About 10 years ago, a helicopter crashed in Crater Lake, and it's still there. They couldn't retrieve it, and it has the same issues we're talking about here. Is definition of seaplane include helicopters with pontoons on it?
We have the aviation board person still. You want to come up and answer that? And please restate your name for the record.
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Bates, my name is Mitch Swecker, the Director of the Department of Aviation. A helicopter could be construed to be a seaplane if it was equipped with pontoons to land on a lake.
Kind of a vague answer there.
If it has pontoons, I'm a retired military helicopter pilot. We landed on lakes without them. We had a waterproof bottom. So it's
but I worked
feasible
that one
to
my
do
head. Did you
it's,
take
it's
off?
It's feasible, and you would consider it to be, I guess you would consider it to be a seaplane. It has the same issues as our concerns here.
All right, thank you. Does that answer your question, Senator?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't answer mine either. Is it or isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what. It would be helpful if you can get an answer and follow up. Make sure that you provide that to our staff.
Because otherwise, next year we'll be back talking about helicopters.
I can see it coming.
Right.
That's why I asked the question.
All right. With that, gentlemen, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 602, and we are adjourned.